the event space is probably the number one use of Twitter that's unparalleled with any other site.
You're listening to Real Marketing Real Fast, the only podcast that brings you unfiltered, undaunted, insider information on the latest tools and technologies for online marketers. Prepare to dive deep into marketing myths, breakthrough models, and cutting-edge strategies that will have an immediate impact on the growth of your business. And now, here's your host, marketing expert Doug Morneau.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Today, I've got joining me a special guest from the other side of the world from us, from a beautiful place in Australia, and we've got Keith Keller. Now, Keith is considered by many to be one of the world's leading authorities on Twitter marketing and is regularly invited as guests on podcasts such as ours, webinars, telesummits across the globe. He shares his knowledge with audiences in the US, Canada, as well as Australia and New Zealand. He has his own podcast series on iTunes called Crack the Twitter Code and offers one-on-one coaching to clients around the world via Zoom. So welcome to Real Marketing. How are you doing today?
Hey, mate, don't you just love this? You're in Canada. You're a Canuck. I'm an Aussie in Melbourne, Australia. And this is the world we live in, isn't it?
It is. And it's late enough for me that I can actually be drinking a glass of your fine Chardonnay, but it's probably a bit early for you.
Yeah, 10 a.m. in the morning and 3 p.m. for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's noon something. Yeah, there we go. We could have a glass of wine. So is there anything you want to add to the introduction about your background or what you do that you would like to share with our guests?
No. I really want to let people know that I do have a free podcast. We'll talk about that at the end. I've just decided that I'm gonna nail this Twitter thing. There's a dozen sites on the internet to get your head around. I can't keep up. I've just decided I'm just going to go really deep into Twitter and nail it and try all the new tricks and tips that we can share today.
Well, it's interesting if you read the chatter and you talk to various people in our space, in the marketing space, that people talk about Twitter. Do people still use Twitter? So why don't we start off with talking about, do people still use Twitter?
Yeah, well, it's a very interesting point. In the last quarter, this is actually a really big piece of this, Twitter actually grew by 4 million people in the last 90 days. So it's growing again. It's completely reinventing itself again. And the truth is that there is 100 million people around the world that use Twitter every day. Now that's one with eight zeros.
Wow.
It's a big number.
Well,
it's a big chunky number, isn't it?
Yeah, you could probably find a few customers in there. It might not be everybody in the world, but 100 million is a good place to start.
Yeah. So, I always start with the idea that, all of these sites are hard or, somewhat hard to get used to initially. So you've got to have a reason to want to play there, to think that, okay, if I invest an hour a day for a few days, I want to see a result. So there's 100 million people on Twitter. And this is a stat. I'll play around with the stats for a while because I've been doing a lot of research on this. Because people often ask me, one, is Twitter dead and why not just use everything else, Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest and LinkedIn? Because everyone's different. Twitter is 55% male. Now, that in itself is interesting because it means that it's totally different to Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest, which is predominantly female, right? Instagram's a little bit more balanced, but Pinterest is very skewed towards females, and Facebook is too. So if you've got a market or a site or a product or a service or an idea that would resonate with men, then Twitter could be worth doing. So 55% of men are on Twitter, still 45% female, but not. There's a slight skew, yeah? So that's a reason in itself. If you're finding, for instance, like most of us are, that Facebook's not working anymore because it's just too hard to get reach or you have to pay so much money just to even get people to like your stuff and you're getting a bit sick of that, then Twitter could be an alternative. In fact, far from it being dead, it could be the next generation after people just sort of flock away from Facebook. Because I hardly ever use Facebook myself because I'm just getting sick of the fact that none of my efforts seem to generate any interest.
Well, do you want to share with our listeners a breakthrough or some success you've had with a couple marketing campaigns specifically focusing on the use of Twitter?
Yeah, okay. So one of the, at the moment, I'm working with a really cool client in Canada, Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto. Yeah.
another cool Canuck. And that site is called Nimble Quotes.
Yeah.
So what we're doing there, this is a startup. So we're right at the beginning of our journey here. And this is a site, to give you context, this is a site that takes newbies to Twitter and gives them 8 tweets a day on their feed with lovely quotes. It's a lovely site. I really like it. And so at the moment we're doing a little Twitter ad campaign, $10 a day. We're getting 2,000 hits to that website, to that video and website every week, and we're playing it out. Now, that's just a case study in point. But
right.
And so that's really fresh, and that's a good use of Twitter. But what I found, for instance, I spoke at an event last week, and we used the hashtag #FutureSMNow, if you want to go and have a look at that. The hashtag was about, or the conference was about, the future of social media. Now, Twitter is extraordinary, unbeatable in the event space. I mean, it's unbeatable. So
yeah.
I said what I mainly did, because I spoke at the end of the day, I got there really early and I sat up the back and I tweeted my head off all day, and I just basically took the words of wisdom from all of the other speakers and put it into this really lovely stream, as well as everyone else that was there. And that was a trending topic all day. What that means is it was one of the top 10 topics in our town and in our country for that day. So
that's really cool.
So that's, as a PR exercise, this particular conference and this conference company got massive free marketing by us just sitting there tweeting on our phones. Right? I mean, it's the event space is probably the number one use of Twitter that's unparalleled with any other site. I can't think of another site that would do that. Can you, Doug?
No, you're right. I think we were just at an event in London in the UK put on by Chris Ducker. And the hashtag was, I think it was Youpreneur. And that's his new website, helping entrepreneurs. And it was interesting, like you mentioned, to see several times during the day in London, which is, you know, there's a few Twitter users there, that was actually trending, which was really kind of cool and started building discussion. So for small businesses and people that are going, hey, you know, there's, you know, all these different platforms, there's YouTube and Snapchat and Pinterest and Instagram. Why don't you walk us through maybe an idea of how you get started with Twitter to get your small business up and running and get it moving?
Yeah, well, Twitter is a little bit hard to get your head around initially because it's a lot of funny language, and there's a Twitterverse and there's a Twitter dictionary, and we're using all these really funny words. but essentially, it's just a conversation. So what I personally like to do, this is actually my little system that I use. When I tweet, I like to use this phrase, 3 hashtags and a hook.
Okay.
And that's completely different now that we've got Twitter 280 characters, and we'll talk about that if we have time. But when Twitter was 140 characters, you really had 10 words and a link. It's really hard. It's really hard to maximize that. So what I used to do was I used to recommend that people would come up with a snappy title, because the way I use Twitter is to promote my blog, to promote a YouTube video, to promote an event, to share an article. I very rarely chat in the open format, so this is how I use Twitter. So, for instance, I just did a post this week, and that the hashtag or the title was 8 Fantastic Ways to Maximize Twitter Video. That's the title, like the hook, you know, like the chorus of a Bon Jovi song.
Yes.
And then there's a link to the article, and then there's 2 that was actually a guest blog post by someone. Now, years ago, before Twitter 280, I would have put in 3 hashtags there, maybe Twitter marketing videos, say. So what people know is, here's an article about Twitter video, here's the link to the article, here's who wrote it, and here's a few hashtags to get additional reach so that other people who haven't followed me yet get to see it. So it's actually quite a robust strategy, 3 hashtags and a hook.
Well, that's really neat. I mean, it's interesting because I think the other thing that people miss on Twitter, aside from being able to build an audience of people, is that you can target your competitors' audience. So in terms of using social media and using Twitter, it's, I guess probably one of the more popular questions that I get is how many tweets should you send out a day?
Ah, I don't know if you're going to like this answer, but it's a very common question, isn't it?
It is. So you tell me your number, then I'll tell you my number.
So Buffer, probably my favorite in the Twitterverse. If you're not using Buffer, you absolutely have to start using Buffer. It's a scheduling site. It did a robust study. This is not my data. This is a robust study done by Buffer. And they analyzed millions of tweets and millions of Twitter users, and they found that of all the people that were tweeting 2 times a day and 22 times a day, 14 times a day was the most reliable figure for traction without being overwhelming. Now, that I know that scares the shit out of most people. 14 times a day, which basically means, if you get your head around this, once an hour on the hour while you're awake. And, of course, people are thinking, why would I do that many? But the point is that I live in Melbourne, Australia, and it's 10 a.m. here. I do sleep occasionally, in spite of what my Twitter feed looks like. Between 12 p.m. and 6 p.m., I'm in bed. I'm not tweeting. And all of those people that are awake then that need something from me can't have anything because I'm just not there. So we developed these strategies of tweeting on schedule using sites like Buffer or Nimble Quotes. So 14 times a day is absolutely robustly provable as the ultimate amount without being too much for the consumer, not so much for the business owner. What's your number? What do you think about that?
I'm posting once an hour.
Okay, there it is, once an hour.
Yeah, so I post. I have a couple strategies. So I use Buffer as well, and I have my executive assistant manage several of our accounts for ourselves and our clients, and so it's a combination of quotes and relevant third-party content, guests that I've had on my podcast, and stuff that I think I find interesting. So a lot of the stuff that I tweet, I'd say probably 90% of the stuff I tweet, I will tweet because it's an easy reference for me to go back and read an article of something that I really like. So that's how I judge whether or not the content I'm putting out there on Twitter is useful for my audience, because it's the stuff that I love, eat, and live and breathe every day. And then I use Meet Edgar to schedule... Yeah, I use that for my podcast. So I've built a calendar within Meet Edgar that runs on a calendar for each release. So I release a podcast on Tuesday and one on Thursday. And what I want to do is I want to set up optimal times to broadcast and promote my podcast across LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, my business Facebook page, my personal Facebook page. So I've set it up so it will run for 7 consecutive days at different time slots to try to get that, you know, our podcast that we're doing today in front of as many people as possible.
What you just said is, this is really important. We need to reiterate what you've just said there. So you've got a podcast. Now you could tweet, this is the answer to the question, why would you schedule it all? You could schedule when you're awake, when you think of it, organically, naturally, randomly. But Meet Edgar has tech, and so does Buffer, that says, you know what, if you tweet at 10:21 a.m. Pacific time, we found that a lot of your tribe is on and engaged at that time. So can you try tweeting a little bit more around 10 a.m. in the morning? Because I think people would enjoy that. You know, they've got tech. They're helping you. They've got all these stats saying, look, it's fine if you post at 10 p.m. because that suits you. But actually, not many people are online then. So I think that's a bit of a waste of time. And that's the ultimate definitive answer to why you would use scheduling tools, because the tech allows you to maximize the amount of people getting your stuff.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I use another tool that's from your part of the world called Audience. And it's a bit more of a technical tool, but it gives me a cloud showing me a tag cloud of what my audience is tweeting about and what they like and what they follow. And it also gives me a little bit of automation so I can thank people who retweet and people who follow me, not with a DM, but by sending them back a message.
And is that Audience?
It is. I can't remember what it was called before. They were bought out or they rebranded.
Social Bro?
That's what it was. Social Bro. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that site. I just love it. I love that site.
So to people who are thinking, oh, that's crazy, you're on Twitter, and then to hear that I have three different tools, but they all perform a different set of actions, and you know, you don't have to do that. That's how I operate. You need to find what works for you, right?
Let's pick up on the audience idea, because this is a fantastic tool, but I want to share another Canadian tool from Toronto. I just love saying that, Toronto. Just roll all the words together. You're like Aussies. We just shorten everything, right? There's this unbelievable tool in Toronto called Tweeps Map. You've heard of it?
Yeah, I have.
It's very, very, very similar to Audience. I prefer it. It's almost identical. There's a lot of sites that are identical to each other. Social Bro was excellent. It turned itself into Audience for a number of reasons. Tweeps Map is a site based in Toronto, Canadian tool. Just amazing intel on, for instance, where your followers are, what time of the day they tweet. And this is a very good example. I live in Melbourne, Australia. It's 10 a.m. But what happens if all of my followers are really, really, really active at 6 a.m.? Do I get up earlier? Do I completely miss that?
Totally get it.
Do I set the alarm just to get up half an hour earlier, so that if all of my people are online at a certain time, well, why wouldn't you go there? It's just amazing when you can get inside it. Now you can see why I love Twitter and why it's still worth using. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting when you think about it from your, like what you're saying is, it really comes down to looking at what is best for your audience. And so Twitter is no different than any other tool that you're using for sales and marketing. It's know your audience, know where they are, and provide them good content in a way that's easy and convenient for them to access it.
Totally. The reason I got into Twitter is because I used to run a radio show on Blog Talk Radio, which is still going and still very cool. I just morphed and got a little bit more professional, if you like. But I found when I was using all of the different tools, and I tried them all, LinkedIn, Facebook, all of them, I just found that more people listened to my podcast, which was the goal, when I tweeted about it than when I sent a Facebook message. I tried them all. I tried them all equally as an experiment, and I do recommend you do that. But I found that when I tweeted something, I got much more traction on the podcast episodes, which was my goal, to get more people to listen to it. And one particular, this is an example of a success story that I've personally had. On one particular episode, we had 1,800 downloads overnight. So, you know, I tweet something at 6 p.m., make some dinner, watch TV with my wife, wake up in the morning, and 1,800 new people have listened to this podcast episode I'd done the day before because I sent a tweet about it. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So I just got addicted.
Yeah, and I don't think you can get that reach on a lot of the other social channels.
I just don't think you can. So no. I encourage you. I just love Twitter for the absolute power that it has to reach the globe.
Well, and the other side of that too is that in terms of using social, I mean, we can use them all, but Twitter has a really great way to reach out directly to people. I mean, if you think about how you and I first connected back a month or 2 months ago, it was through Twitter and then direct messaging back and forth before we changed emails. And finally, here we are.
Look, personally, I think DMs are probably the most underrated thing on Twitter. And the reason why that is because most people automate it and completely stuff it up. You know, the amount of emails that I get every day going, hey, Keith, thanks for connecting. Would you like to download my ebook? Well, hang on. I don't even know who you are. And you're trying to sell me something straight away.
Yeah.
Of course, this comes down to the idea of automation versus engagement. What I personally do is I cherry pick all my new followers every day. I spend maybe 10 minutes going, hey, there's Doug. He's cool. There's someone else. They're cool. There's a person I really want to connect with. That's a spammer. I'll leave them go. And then I spend 10 minutes connecting, even if it's only for a second. Hello, Doug. How's Vancouver today? I was there in 1996. Here's a cool photo of me with a squirrel. We saw a squirrel and we'd never seen one before, and we're all running around and the staff thought that was hilarious. But for us, it was a new experience, a squirrel.
Sure, absolutely. You know?
But that's a connection, isn't it? I've been to Vancouver. We stayed in Boston.
And I've done the same thing on Instagram, but I've found that Twitter's been very responsive. As long as I'm not, like you said, spamming people with a message like, hey, you've never heard of me before, but I've got this new ebook and I want you to give me a reference here it's all about me, opposed to, hey, I like your tweets. I like following you. And what I've often done is told people, hey, you know, I've been following you on Twitter. I'm going to reach out and send you a LinkedIn connection request because I'd like to have a deeper relationship with you on multiple platforms. And then maybe after a bit of time, we'll have a conversation offline about whether there's opportunity to work together. But it's certainly not the first thing we're going to talk about.
No, it's like dating, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
one of the things I love. This is a very good example of why you would use Twitter as your mix. As I said, I do lots and lots and lots of stats. And there's a 46% chance that if someone is connected to you on Twitter, they also have a LinkedIn page. 46% chance. So if someone is on LinkedIn and there's a 46% chance they're going to have a Twitter page. So
wow,
that synergy
huge.
Of having – it's huge. So that synergy of saying, well, you're connected with me on LinkedIn, you're connected with me on Twitter, it doubles the effect. It sort of – it brings the intimacy up a notch, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And suddenly you're not just an anonymous person. This is very powerful because there's only a 24% chance if you're on Facebook that you have a Twitter page because Twitter is so ubiquitous and that everyone has one. That not many people have transferred over to the Twitter experience. So if you're on LinkedIn and you like it, because there's 500 million people on LinkedIn now, cracked 500 million this week. If you're on LinkedIn and you like it, chances are most of your connections will be on Twitter as well. So you might as well hang out with them there as well because Twitter is a fun and funky fast thing. What's the name of your podcast? Real Marketing Real Fast. Well, that's Twitter 101, isn't it?
It is. It's super easy because you don't have to go to the trouble of finding a cool image. You can just send out some information. You know, hey, I'm chatting to Keith Keller on my podcast. Look forward to it. Boom. And out it goes in a few seconds. And just a tip for our listeners. One of the highest opened email that you'll ever send in an email marketing campaign is your welcome email when somebody signs up to your list. And I always include a personal invitation for people to connect with me on my social media platforms, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook, because that's the email that will always get the most engagement. You'll never get more engagement with your list than your first email. So why not ask right up front to get in front of them in another platform, because they may not open all your emails, but they're going to see your message in Twitter and Facebook and on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I think that's very powerful. And, you know, Twitter, because Twitter is fast and funky, it suits certain character types. LinkedIn is a bit more professional and it suits certain character types. So having the combination of the two, and here's a stat that'll knock you down. I don't know if you know this stat, but there is a very, very, very high correlation between people who love listening or making podcasts to people that are on Twitter. 55%. Of people that listen to podcasts are on Twitter, 55%. Isn't it cool? So we're doing the right thing. So chances are people that are listening to this podcast have a Twitter account already. And if you do, please follow me at Keith Keller. And if you don't, I recommend you try it because it's still funky. Yeah.
Yeah, it still works. I mean, it's the question becomes, how long do I have to do this? And you've got to make an investment and it's got to be part of your plan. You can't just throw a few things up. But I've been reading a really good book and it's called The Slight Edge. And I've really enjoyed the book because it talked about doing a little, small things every day. And just like you mentioned, if you spend the 10 minutes a day on your Twitter account, and then if you've got other accounts, you might be up to 30 or 40 minutes a day or get an EA to help you. But it's just the little things every day, build your audience. I've been getting access to some high-end high-end guests for the podcast that don't reveal their email address on their website and have a contact form. So I found it's a direct link to the influencers using a Twitter direct message and Instagram direct message. So I have to admit, I have to give credit to the DM idea to Gary Vaynerchuk, who said there's no reason why you can't reach people on social. You can direct message them. And I started doing that, and to my surprise, I just kept reaching and reaching. And the first ask wasn't, like you mentioned, it wasn't, hey, would you want to be a guest on my podcast? It was conversation around what they were already doing, what I liked. And maybe after five or six engagements, then there was I'd love to invite you on my show as a guest. I think you'd bring lots of value for my audience. So there's a great way if you're trying to reach people. So convert that thinking to sales. I'm trying to reach somebody at XYZ Corporation and I can't get to the decision maker. Maybe there's a different way where the gatekeeper's not there.
Let me pick up on an idea because we keep coming back to that question. Give me some examples of when this has worked. Because Twitter is a global thing and the time clock just keeps ticking around wherever you live, I've developed a little habit now, please don't tell my wife, that when about 11 o'clock p.m., I just quickly check my messages to sort of just tidy up my global vibe, you know, just to see if there's anyone in London or Berlin or New York that might have sent me a message while I was having dinner. Because there's a big chunk of time while I'm having dinner and watching TV that I don't tweet. And there was this one particular night, 11 p.m. on a Tuesday night, where a guy said, mate, I love your Twitter feed. If you're ever in New York, I would like to invite you to come and speak to our board. It's a direct invitation to speak. So, well, that's really lovely. I'm not planning to be in New York next week, but I actually would like to keep a rain check for that. And how you doing? He says, well, look, and we had this moment. It was about 10 minutes. That happens to me all the time. But what happened was this guy was the global marketing manager for Mercer, right? And he just so happened to be in his jammies having a piece of toast, doing exactly what I'm doing at the reverse end of the day. Look, I've got to be in the office in half an hour, but I'll quickly check my messages while I'm having the jam and toast and a coffee because maybe overnight there was some important messages that I missed. Yeah. So once you get your head around the fact that shakers and movers like Gary Vee are hanging out on Twitter because that's where the action is, and you get into the headset that I was chatting to this guy at 11 p.m. my time, 7 a.m. his time, he invited me to speak to his board in New York. Anytime I'm in New York, it's in a way, it's a reason to go by itself. But what a lovely compliment. And that all happened because I was open to the idea that he's a guy
absolutely
that liked my stuff. And we're chatting. We're two human beings communicating in time.
Yeah, and I think people are forgetting that. I mean, with all the AI out there and all the bots and all the automation, at the end of the day, the bots don't buy anything.
Yeah,
it's you and I that buy things, and we buy things from people that we like and trust.
Yeah, it's just a compelling thing, and I really want to encourage people to spend 10 minutes a day investigating Twitter, even if they just DM a few people or, you know, just share a few things. I think the best way to be an active citizen on Twitter is just to find a few cool things and share them. Like this podcast, yeah. Or, you know, you might have read this really cool blog and thought, you know, I think my friends would like that. And it's an active way to be in the game, yeah?
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's stuff you can do that, like you mentioned when we got started, you said that you work with a lot of new startups.
Yeah.
And it's a way for a startup to get out there and start getting their message out there without writing a check or having to pull out their credit card.
That's probably the most important part of the whole social media experience is that it allows people that are just starting to get started without buckets of money invested, yeah?
Now, do you work with people as well running ads for them on Twitter?
At the moment we're running some ads for this company called Nimble Quotes. The research that I've done about Twitter ads is really quite compelling. They say that per dollar spend, Twitter actually stacks up pretty well as an ROI efficiency thing. You know, Facebook ads, everyone's heard of Facebook ads and most people have explored them, but they can be expensive and a bit of a sink, you know, just money down the toilet. If you do them well, they can work really well. But I have heard that Twitter ads are quite a compelling ROI for the money spent. And we're just doing $10 an ad, $10 a day for Jen in Toronto. And she's getting 2,000 views to her video. We're now just tweaking that a little bit and – so, yeah, I'm starting to explore Twitter ads because paid social is what we call it. It's coming, isn't it? It's really ubiquitous now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was reading some stats yesterday from somebody who's an author in the U.S. and she's got quite a large consulting company. She probably does six figures or more a month. So she's well into with all of her businesses into the eight figure number. And she basically broke down the quality of visitors. And she said that people that she gets from paid ads are better than she gets from search. Now, those are her words, not mine. So she would rather pay $25 to give away her book than try to optimize and have someone from search find it, because she found the back end conversion for her upsell into a product was had a higher close ratio.
Yeah, well, I know that Michael Hyatt, who's a guy I really admire, I know that he spent about $40,000 on one campaign on social ads, and that sounds like a lot of money, but he actually made $408,000 as a result of the customers that he got from that campaign. So he got a 10 to 1 return. He spent some money up front, but the clients that he got as a result of that campaign spent 10 times what he spent on getting them. So that's a no-brainer that anyone can work out. I wouldn't spend $40,000 straight up, but you might spend $1,000. And the quality, that's right, that's why spending money on social is popular now, because the quality of the client, that you're preconditioning them, aren't you?
Yeah. Now, I did have a look at the video that you guys have created. So do you want to talk a bit about videos on Twitter? I'm seeing more of those happen. Honestly, I just haven't got there yet. It's kind of one of those on my to-do lists, and I just never have got around to doing a video for Twitter.
Well, the reason why I'm very, very, very excited about Twitter video is that you can now do 140 seconds. It used to be 30 seconds. And for a long time, I just couldn't see the point of doing 30-second videos. I couldn't tell my story. I couldn't get my mojo. But what I've started doing, and many people do it differently, but what I've started doing is I've just started, because Melbourne's got 4 million people, and I just spoke at an event last week where several of those really cool people were there. So I just go up to people and I say, okay, well, tell me your story. What are you doing? Let's just have a chat. And we just edit it down, and some of those videos have gone quite well. So the great power of Twitter video, and this is the power of it, is that it's 140 seconds, really almost the ideal time. So it auto-plays on Twitter inside a tweet. I mean, that's powerful. You know, if you scroll sure down is. Your Twitter feed at any given time, the static pages that just a text, they just don't stand out anymore. So if you add a video to your tweet, you've got something like about a 300% chance of getting noticed. Yep. Because everyone, Mari Smith calls this thumb-stopping content. You're sitting at Starbucks, you've got 10 minutes to wait while they're making your mocha latte with caramel sauce, whatever they have now. And you're sitting there and you're making this really cool, they've got a special on and you're trying this really funky latte, yeah. And you go, no worries, just take your time. And you're sitting there, what are you going to do? You're going to grab your phone, and you're grabbing your phone and you're going down, you're scrolling down, and there's comment, 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 picture, comment, 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 picture, video. Bang. You know, it just knocks you out. You go, wow, okay, I've got 10 minutes. If I only have to do enough time to do one thing, I'll watch this short video. Because you know it's only 2 minutes. And the power of doing videos that – and say, for instance, and next time we do this, we'll do this this way. Say, for instance, we recorded this as a video. It comes out as a podcast in its entirety, 30 minutes. But I can do little two-minute snippets of the highlights. Okay, Keith, tell me about Twitter video. I'll just do that bit. Okay, Keith, why should people use Twitter? I'll just do that bit. And it's a discipline because like 140 characters is a discipline, 140 seconds is hard to get really compelling data squashed into that time. But I don't know if you've ever seen this. Lots and lots and lots of my friends say, mate, I've just been interviewed. I'm on YouTube. Yeah, great. Goes like 90 minutes. I'm going, I'm not watching 90 minutes. I love you. I love you. You're my best friend, but I'm not watching 90 minutes of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice to have something shorter.
Yeah. Just the highlights. It's exactly the same as my very, very, very good friends who go overseas and they take 3,000 photos. Right? It's exactly the same. And they put it up in the background while we're all having a party in the lounge room. And I said, wouldn't it have just been more polite to just give me 100? No, 3,000 at one a second. Well, how long is that going to take me? It's like an hour. So you're sitting there watching this stream of photos go past and thinking, some of those are quite good. Why don't you this is exactly the analogy I use for Twitter video. Why don't you grab those highlight photos and put them into 5 minutes and put a little bit of music behind it and just give me 2 minutes of your trip to Italy? There's the Eiffel Tower. I'm sorry, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. There's, the Colosseum. Is it called the Colosseum?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Makes sense. So,
sure.
Twitter, everything on Twitter is short and fast and funky. It's the exact opposite of what we call long form. I'm not watching hour-long videos on YouTube. I'm just not. I just don't have time, and I just don't want to. Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. So I'll have to move that up on my list of stuff to do and get some videos onto my Twitter feed. So I wanted.
Well, let's set an intention to do a Zoom next time, and I'll do it for you.
Okay. Hey, I'll accept. That sounds good. You key it up. We'll do that offline. But before we wind up for our episode today, want to ask you for the best way that people can find you online.
Okay, so the best way is at Keith Keller on Twitter. And I'm guessing you're on Twitter because a lot of people are. If you're not, it's twitter.com/Keith Keller, but just the at symbol. I love sharing what I know. So what I've done is I've got a 10-part podcast on iTunes, completely free, no strings attached, Crack the Twitter Code. And I was interviewed by a very good friend of mine.
Okay.
And we broke it down into 10 really compelling parts, 15 minutes each, right? And it just breaks it all down. Really super simple. You start off knowing nothing and you come out the other end at episode 10 and you've got everything you need. And that's my sort of free offering to the world. If people need to know more, they can go to crackthetwittercode.com. And I now am proud to say that I consult all over the world to really cool startups and entrepreneurs and all sorts of really cool people that are starting to get their head around Twitter. It's a fun ride.
That's excellent. Well, so there you have it, listeners. You hopefully have got some new information and realized that Twitter is not dead. If you consider 100 million audience dead, then, well, I really have nothing more for you. But if you think there's an opportunity there, I'd suggest that you take a look at the links in the show notes. So in the show notes, we'll have all the background and bio on Keith, a full transcription of our conversation, and then links to all of his various websites and social media sites. So thanks so much for listening. I hope to see you tune back in for our next episode. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes if you're an iTunes listener. And if you like the show, leave us a review. So until next time, keep working and keep having fun. Thanks.
That's all for this episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now it's time to take your marketing to the next level by visiting DougMorneau.com and downloading our advanced marketing white papers, as well as exclusive resources based on today's episode. That's DougMorneau.com. Until next time. We look forward to serving you right here on Real Marketing Real Fast.